Blog Talk Radio.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are my hiding place. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. His name is even a place where the righteous can run in and be saved. And we thank God this morning for another Monday morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Another Monday we never seen before. And that God is faithful this morning. He's on our side in spite of us. And he brought us through the weekend up until this present time. And all we can do is tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. He blessed me. this weekend. I went to the farmer's market and got some letters out and things I needed to do. And so God is just faithful. He's just faithful and always on time, always on time. So we're grateful unto him. And I just want to say right quick, welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today is July the 5th, 2021. We are 7 months and 5 days into this new year already. I was a bit shocked when I looked at some goodness. Yesterday was the 4th, and already it's the 5th. Time is going on by. Yeah, time, as they say, is winding up. And so we're thankful unto Almighty God. I want to make this announcement, and then we're going to have prayer. On Wednesday, I'm doing a private Jesus in the Morning show, and I'm sharing some things with the believers, because we understand the world don't believe like we believe, and the world don't understand the word of God as we understand it. So I'm making it private because I don't believe in fighting about the word. I don't believe in, just going back and forth, back and forth. No, I can't do all of that. So what we're going to be talking about, I made it private. And that way it's for the believers. And it may be some things that we all learned, because I looked at some stuff the weekend, and when I tell you, it was like my lip dropped to the floor. It's like my mouth just was wide open, and I just couldn't close it right away. But this is what we're facing in the world today. And we got to pray more. Pray about these situations. Pray for the mind of the people. Listen, if the devil take your mind, you're no longer in control of your thoughts, even the things that you do, because he going to give you the thoughts of what to do. And when you think of it, you'll react on it. Yeah. I've seen a case this weekend where an older lady had killed her husband's girlfriend. He left her for another woman. And she went, watching the woman, kind of stalking, I guess you would call it. That's what they call it. And she ended up checking the woman out, and the woman was driving her husband's truck. She was at the laundromat, and she rolled, and the wife rolled and parked and watched. And then when the woman come out of the laundromat, she went over to her and opened the truck door and said a few words to her, and I guess they had a few words, and she stabbed this woman to death. Do y'all hear me? Stabbed her to death. And we've heard of many cases and many situations. I've heard of a girlfriend killing another woman, a boyfriend killing another man. And the spirit of murder is just loose in the land. I also look, this is like the morning news I'm giving you. I look and I see where so many young people are killing each other. And, you know, folks used to say, well, it's your race killing your race, but it's every race killing each other. And it does not make sense why they were murdered. Some kill some to keep from talking. These people now, no boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife, just somebody with somebody. And they kill them sometimes to keep them from talking, from telling something. And guess what? It still get out. What they try to conceal, it still gets out. And now they done killed a person for nothing, and they are in prison for the rest of their lives sometimes. Yeah. I saw one case where a man killed a man and a woman. He got 2 life sentences for that. I'm like, what is going on? But I found out, too, with younger people, sometimes they ended up in foster care. Sometimes they ended up being adopted. Sometimes they end up with a family member because of what the parents were doing, drugging, abusive, whatever. Well, they was removed from the parents and placed with someone else. And a lot of times who they were placed with, they really don't have love for them. What they have is extra income coming in, and that's why they took the child in. So the child grow up with no feelings. They don't know what love is because they've never been shown love. They don't know what boundaries are because no boundaries have been set for them, because they come up in a house where they were provided shelter, food, and clothes. That was basically it. No sit down and talk to you, no hug you, no tell you I love you, none of this. No real discipline, and if they do discipline them, they abuse the discipline. They physically abuse the children. So, you don't know what love is. You don't know what boundaries are. You don't have really no real feeling for other people. You're numb. Because you don't know what love is. You've never experienced it before. Real love. Genuine. I just love you because of you. I don't love you because you have long hair. I don't love you because your eyebrows are bright, your lashes thick. I just love you because I love you. They never experienced that, so they grow up. And they can kill anybody at any time over anything because they're numb. They have no feelings. They have no boundaries. So this is why they're out there. I've heard women in counseling tell me, well, when we got together, after we was together for a while, he asked me, would you have my son, a daughter? I really want a son, but if you just give me a daughter, I'll be happy. Well, guess what? That to him was like the games they play, SP5 or whatever it is, PC5, whatever it is. It's a game because he won't the title of parent. The baby was born. He went to see the baby. He was all excited. Hadn't been back to the mama since she became pregnant. And he went to the hospital to see the baby. After that, he was through. It's like, it's not even like a PC5. I take that back. It's like a little girl get a doll. And the doll is so pretty, well-dressed. She take the clothes off, break the leg off, take the head off, and put it back together and throw the doll in the corner. I'm through with you. I just wanted to see what you was made of. I just wanted to see how you operate. So men do women like this with children. And the child grow up with no training, no boundaries. No feelings of love, no feelings of care. So the least little thing can trigger them. And they feel like, I got to take revenge on this stuff myself. I got to do this. So I got to see a lot of things because I was concerned, why are they just able to just kill like in an instant? No thought of it or nothing. No thought what other person likes. And when it comes to violence, people shouldn't have guns, have guns. And it's ridiculous. So what could we do? Pray. Humble ourselves and pray. Seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways. Pray for the minds of the people, please. Every human being. It don't make no difference what country they from, what they look like. Now pray for every human being, that God, you would protect their minds. Lord, help them to find you. Because, see, once you receive the Holy Spirit and you allow it to lead and guide you, that type of thinking, you can't even think that way. Somebody make you angry, you don't think about destroying them, killing them, none of that. You can't even muster up a cuss word. They done made you angry. But you can't even muster up a cuss word. Because the scripture says, be angry but sin not. But today, if you don't have your own mind. The enemy is using your mind for you. You are messed up. I saw so many different things, so many different cases. The football player, he gone to the NFL. The girlfriend got pregnant. That's not what he wanted. He killed her and the baby. I mean, the list is endless. I've seen debates on sex and gender. All of that different alphabets and that names and alphabets are being produced each day. A new one is coming out, or two or three new ones coming out in one day. And when you, they're telling you, when you talk to a person, it's best you ask them what their gender, what's your gender, what do you be preferred to talk, to be called? What? Human beings? Are you kidding me? That's very difficult. Yeah, that's tedious because of this. I may not be here much longer, but I'm here now. Pay taxes and all this kind of stuff, obey the law, this kind of stuff. But I come from a different era. I come from a different time. And you want to force me to call you something that I don't know about. I don't even know what that means or that was even put in place. And if I don't call you that, you're telling me that I'm committing battery on you. I'm committing a criminal act. So if I'm committing a criminal act, I can be put in jail for that because it's against the law. But I don't know about all of this. I don't even understand how we got there. The era that I come from, there were two. That were male and female. Now it's him, her, they, by, they, all kind of stuff. I don't know that. I'm not in that world. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in that circle to learn every day. And why would I be forced to be put into that circle to learn when I'm not a part of it? I'm a part of being a human being. And where I come from, there were two, male and female. Later on, they found out some other stuff, you know, that a person can be born with both sex organs, the man's sex organ and the woman's sex organ. And they called them a name. And then, you know, as you grow on up, you find out about being gay, okay? So these were the things there, and basically the person born with the two sex organs, the man organ and the woman organ, we understood. And I think the parents decided which sex they would be, male or female, you know. But today, stuff like that, I mean, and it's increasing daily. You can decide on what you want to do and bring it to the law, and they make it a law. And if you break that law, you can be put in jail or prison. It is so much stuff that's going on. And God put it in his word long time ago, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive the sins and heal the land. But what can you do when people don't believe that? When people have no respect for God, they don't have any respect for his word. They don't believe him or his word. So what is it we must do? Pray. Continue to spread the good news of Jesus. Because sometimes the first go around, people won't accept it. But you don't give up, you pray, and you come back again. And sometimes on the second go round, they accept it. Sometimes on the third. Then sometimes God will just release you from it altogether because he's taking it up and he's going to fix it. Because the scripture even says this, when you find them a fool, leave them a fool. But man ought to always pray and not faint. We have a lot to pray for today. Pray without ceasing. There's power in prayer. Yeah. So I wanted to share that a little bit. And on Wednesday, it'll be a private show. And I will send each of you the link to get in. If I don't have your information and you over on Facebook or Twitter somewhere, you can email me at freedomdoors@yahoo.com. You can email me there. And, you know, let me know you want a link to Wednesday's private show, and I'll make sure you get the link. Because after the show, it won't be archived or podcast, because it's a private show. And I'm doing it for the believers only. It's not just for everybody. These shows like this is for everybody. Anybody willing to listen, they feel like, you know, they've been led to listen, is for you. But the private show is for believers only. Hallelujah. And so we're going on in Jesus' name. Let's pray this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, a brand new Monday we never saw before. Thank you for waking us up this morning, closing our right minds. Thank you for the youth and activity of our limbs. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for being our God, for being our Father, for being our Master. Oh, you're so much to us today. You are our lily in the valley, our bright and morning star. Hallelujah. You are our rock. Hey, our Savior. Hallelujah. You're Almighty God that have all power. There's no higher power. We reverence you this morning, for there's none like you. And Father, we come this morning asking that you would bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the podcast and the archives. We ask that you would move this week for us like never before. You know what each of us stand in the need of. And Lord, you know what we want. So we ask that you would move for us in a mighty way. Even today, oh God, in a mighty way. Show us things we never saw before. Help us to gird up the loins of our hearts and mind in you. Help us to remember to prepare daily for your coming back. Are you looking for us, Lord? And we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. And Father, we come today asking that you would use us in your service to bless your people. Help us to talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. Father, even remind us of the testimonies that you've given unto us. And let us rejoice again over what you've done. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor this morning. And we give you all the praise. But Father, there's none like you. This morning, we bring those that are sick before you today. Ask that you would touch their bodies and heal them. Father, heal them spiritually. Heal them mentally. Heal them physically. In the name of Jesus. Emotionally, God. Those that are suffering with depression, Father, we ask that you would deliver them. You would set them free from depression. And let this mind be in them that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. Do it today, Father, for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bring those that are incarcerated and their families, those that are in every branch of the military and their families. We ask today, Father, that you would bless like never before. You would strengthen them and send someone along to plant the seed. And Lord, we know you know how to give increase on the seed. Water, fertilize, it's you that give the increase. Hallelujah. You will grow them. And Father, this morning we come asking that God, you would help children. Your word says, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is your kingdom. So today we ask, Lord, that you would send someone along to plant your seed in the hearts of children. That God, when they get old, they won't depart from it. Help them, Lord, that they will have those around them, adults, that will train them, not take advantage of them, but train them in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. Do it this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, we bring our children. We bring our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. We bring them before you this morning and ask, Lord, that you would help today. Father, remind them of what they've been taught about you, the truth. And that, Lord, they would make a conscious decision to seek you more, to research more about you. That the world don't sink their claws into them and the enemy is able to take their minds. Help this morning in the name of Jesus. Help God. We know you're able. Deliver today in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bless our brothers and sisters overseas, everywhere. Father, many have to hide, but God, we ask that you would shield and protect them, keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Father, we ask that you would supply their need according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. You're their shepherd, and Lord, don't let them even want. Give heart desires to our brothers and sisters overseas in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would bless widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus, in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Continue to protect them, keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. And Father, we ask that you would continue to bless America and the leadership. Lord, we ask that, God, you would go in and that you would fix every crooked thing, everything that's not of you. Father, we ask that you would fix it in the name of Jesus. Cast it out, oh God. Deliver your people in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, we ask that you would bless this segment of Jesus in Mourning. Have your way here today, Father. Move by your Spirit for us. We need you. We can't make it without you. And Father, those here that are standing in need of finances, we ask that you would open every door. I'll fix it today, oh God. Whatever they stand in need of today, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you this morning. Thank you for what you're doing for us right now. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like you. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you. So listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the testimony of Moses, part two. Yeah, we're going to finish up today, hopefully from, I think it was last Thursday or Friday. Yeah, we started. So we're going to finish up and keep seeing what testimonies he had, because he had some wonderful, wonderful testimonies. Moses. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to this one this morning. This is a request.
It's just good to know the Lord. All of his blessings, oh,
singing in the 60s in the church choir and that kind of thing. So I like that organ feel, and listening to him is what I get from it, you know, an organ feel. And so we just thank God this morning for all he has done and what he's doing right now. We're thankful unto him today. I tell you, there's none like him. And we're going to come in with the book of Exodus, and I'm going to let this man read for us, and I like the way he reads. I really do. It sounds wonderful to me, and so we're going from there, but I want to say this too. We got to see where Moses, how it all started, you know, the birth. What happened during the birth, after the birth, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, we got to see Moses' testimony. That was the last Thursday, I believe. And we continuing this week to finish it up. And God did so many wonderful things through them. And sometimes we see it as a hard thing. It's a hard thing, you know. And it is. Many times our trials are hard, they're not easy. But it wasn't easy on Jesus either, suffering and being crucified. So we can't let him suffer alone. We got to go through some things too. But it all works together for our good. Because not only did he call us, some of us he chose, and we love him. And we want to be obedient. And we understand that the trials come to make us strong. And sometimes the things God allow us to go through is for, all the time I'm going to say, it's for a greater thing. Whatever trial you're going through for his sake is for a greater thing, a greater place, a greater work in him. Greater blessings, greater miracles for you. Oh yeah. He's not going to work you and never pay you. He's not that kind of God. If we praise him, he's going to pay us. The scripture said when blessings go up, when praises go up, the blessings of the Lord come down, huh? He won't even owe you for a praise. Anything you do for him, he's going to reward you. But we have to diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen, we got to see what happened before and after Joseph died. That's how it all started off, you know. The ending of Genesis. And Joseph told his brothers what to expect, and it came to pass. And God brought all of Joseph's family out. And the Bible says 70 souls came out with him, unto him, because he was already in Egypt. And we know the story of Joseph, the guy with the coat of many colors, how he got great testimonies and went through great things, but in the ending, he got the greater blessing. So after the death of Joseph, a new king took over, and he didn't know Joseph, and he saw how fast Israel was multiplying, and he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we, and when our enemies come to fight us, they'll join them. This is what the king thinks. Now they put the people, Israel, in bondage. and made it work extremely hard. Yeah, now they building brick and all kind of stuff. Yeah. The midwives were told to kill the boys and save the girls. But the midwives was afraid of God, and they saved the boys and girls. And when the king said something to the midwives about saving the children of Israel, the midwives said they deliver fast. They give birth quick. God blessed the midwives and made their lives better. The king now decides to put the boy babies in the river. So now here comes Moses on the scene. Moses is born. And his mom put him in a basket and sent him down the river. And his sister stood back and watched to see what would happen to Moses. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket floating down the river and had a servant to bring the basket to her. And it was a baby and crying. And Pharaoh's daughter had compassion for the baby and saw he was a Hebrew baby. So Moses' sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, do you want me to go and get a Hebrew nurse to come and nurse this baby? And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. In other words, go get me one. And Moses' sister went and got Moses' mama to come and see after him. And guess what? Pharaoh's daughter offered her wages, offered her pay to take care of this Hebrew and nurse this Hebrew baby. But she didn't know that it was his mother. She didn't know that that was the woman she hired to nurse him. That was her biological son. So now Moses grew. And when he was brought to Pharaoh's daughter, she took him as her son. She named him Moses because he was drawn out of the water, out of the river, you see. That's where she got him from. I'm sure you heard if it starts right, it will end right. When Moses did some thinking in his flesh, it appears he forgot who God was and the power Almighty God had and the thing has and the things he can do in this old earth. Moses, you know, quite often reverted back to being in his flesh, not really considering the power of God, because I'm assuming he forgot it. He was thinking it's me that's going to do it. No, Moses, it's going to be God. You just follow the instructions. So Moses became grown, an adult, and he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian. He saw the Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, one of his brothers. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. He killed him and hid him in the sand. Now, I tell you now, to me that sounds like people to me. Because many times we try to help people and they come against us because what they're doing, we've stopped them from doing it, or we said something against the wrong that they was doing. Yeah, so now they want to revert back on me what I've done. Now, we're not talking about me, we're talking about you. So look, and when he went out the second day after he killed the Egyptian, behold, two men of the Hebrews strode together. Now, in other words, they were fighting. And he said to them, to him that did the wrong, wherefore, y'all, why y'all fighting each other, in other words? Y'all are the same, you know, why are you coming against each other? Yeah. And one of them said, and who made you a prince and a judge over us? You're wrong. You know you're wrong. And instead of accepting the wrong, you're going to go against the person that's trying to get you right. Who made you a prince and judge over us? They say, do you intend to kill us too? Kill as you kill that Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Yeah, somebody saw me kill that Egyptian. And look at this. You saw my wrong, and now I'm going to remind you of your wrong. Never sin, I'm on your side. I love you, and I'll kill for you. You're both wrong to fight each other. The two Hebrews was wrong for fighting each other. And they couldn't see the love Moses had for them. Because, see, the light was being shined in their darkness, and it was showing their dirt. So, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to talk about what you did, Moses. So Pharaoh heard about it. And he was after Moses to kill him. But Moses knew and fled. God yet blessed Moses. And he found a family who took him in. And he got married. Yes. And it came to pass in process time, of time, that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So God heard Israel, and he had a purpose and a plan to deliver them from Egypt, from Pharaoh. God had a plan. The Egyptians didn't have one. Moses didn't have one. God had the plan. He had the purpose. Moses had heard, and he led them on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Angel of the Lord. See, when we left there, when Moses left Pharaoh and got him a wife, got him a family, he led his herd, his cattle or sheep or whatever he had. He led them on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. The bush didn't burn up. It just continued to burn. And God spoke to Moses, telling him to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. God introduced himself to Moses. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. God explained to Moses why he's there. He came to deliver the people. God giving him a position and instructions. Look at it. Moses tells God all about his non-qualifications. I can't speak plain, Lord. My tongue is tied. And God get an assistant for Moses, which was Aaron, his brother. So now God sends a plague to Pharaoh to harden his heart many times because God hardened it. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Finally, Pharaoh let the children of Israel go because his family and people were dying. Well, God softened his heart to obey. So we start now in chapter 14, starting at verse 1, and this should bring us on over to where we need to be. I just wanted to go back to the history of the testimony, how it all got started and all of that, and we're moving right along. So we're looking at, I give you a chance again to get it, Exodus chapter 14 in verse 1. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1.
Exodus 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. He brought them out of there. Hardened Pharaoh's heart again. Pharaoh said, why did we turn them loose? I must have been crazy. Let's go and get these Hebrews back and put them back in even more bondage. Because we saw at one point they was doing them real bad. And then after Moses came in and told them to let the people go, he put an even greater burden on their neck when it was giving them the straw, the stubble to make the brick and stuff. Pharaoh said, now what we're going to do, you get your own stubble. You got to go out and get your own straw. We're no longer doing that. So after all the plagues come forth, Pharaoh got to see, well, I better let him go. God softened his heart enough to allow them to go out of Egypt, got to the Red Sea. When they look back, here come Pharaoh and his army. But did you see what happened? They complained against Moses. What, it wasn't no graves or nothing in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? God told Moses what to do. Stretch out your rod. And God opened the Red Sea, and they went across safe through the Red Sea on dry land. And when they got across, God closed that sea back up again on Pharaoh and all his army. Yeah, they was never heard of again. I know y'all heard the song, Pharaoh's army got drowned. Yeah, they sang a song about it. So we're going a little bit further. We're going over to chapter 15 and continuing Moses' testimony. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got to go back to 16. I went to 15 and touched it. I'm so used to that.
Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of thee. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved to them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters.
Amen. You see, he brought them through. Brought them through the Red Sea safely onto the wilderness. And they began to praise him, and Moses began to uplift him and glorify him and talk about him. Miriam, you know, and the sister, you know, she began, her and other women began to praise God. They was excited. They were happy that God brought them through. And so he told them this. He said, look, if thou would diligently hearken to my voice, you know, the voice of the Lord thy God, and we'll do that which is right in his sight. This is Moses is saying. And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. But you heard what he said we got to do. We got to obey him. That's still going today. If we'll obey God, walk upright before him, diligently, constantly obey him, obey his word. Yeah. Not only will he hear our prayer, but we'll see the prayers answered. If we sick, he'll heal us. Whatever we're going through, he'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going on over to 16.
Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it, every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye shall bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord, to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah.
Why, look at God. Look at God. And the people still murmured. They still complained. I'm assuming they forgot he drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. He drowned them to save them, took care of them. Now they grumble and complain about food. God food for them. Meat and bread. Yeah. And no matter how much I was done, they still complain. They just had to complain. They just couldn't be happy. You know, one thing after another. And so Moses, yeah, this is his testimony. This is what he went through. He had to listen and them complain. And he obeyed God during this time. And he remembered. Yeah. He got to the wilderness. He remembered. So look, we're going to look further, 17.
Exodus 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Going on to 18.
Exodus 18. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he'd sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land.
Yeah, God bless Moses on every hand. On every hand, he blessed Moses that he could continue to obey him. Sent Jethro in there, his father-in-law. Jethro gave wise counsel. It took some of the burden off of Moses because he told him, if you keep this going from sun up to sun down by yourself, then you're going to give out. You know, you're going to get tired. In a minute, you're going to end up dying because it's too much. This thing is too heavy for you. So Moses was able to assign leaders over groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Yeah. And so, because God have a purpose and a plan, and he always find a way to bless his people. Always find a way to bless them. I'm grateful unto him today. Hallelujah. Let's take a listen to, I think it's 19.
Exodus 19. Mm-hmm. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. But they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and it pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the word to the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee for ever. And Moses told the word to the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned, or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and spake unto them. Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed, and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And thou wilt make me an altar of stone. Thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Exodus 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. and his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. If she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he hath betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage, shall he not diminish? And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox will want to push with his horn in time past, and hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he have bored a son or have bored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man shall open a pit, if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another's, then he die. Then they shall sell the live ox, and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. For if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own.
Ooh-wee, do you hear these? Do you hear these things? The law of God, all what he put there. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, God came in and changed it for us and made it much easier for us. And we thank God for Jesus today. Anybody thank God for Jesus? Yes, Lord, I do. I certainly do. Hallelujah. We going on to 22. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Exodus 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that sacks of corn or the standing corn of the field be consumed therewith, he that kindle the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits, and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen, and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the 8th day thou shalt give it me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs.
Ooh-wee. What's some rules? What's some statutes? We thank God today that we're not under those statutes. Yeah, a lot of them we still do because it's just right to do right. But all that God gave for them to do, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. A lot of us never would have made it. Oh no, we wouldn't have made it. Because it would have been too much. But guess what? God yet had holy men and women who was willing to do it. And some of them did it quite well. Yeah. Because even Moses had a problem in there. And I know his problem was somewhat. He was sick of the people. Poor Moses. Yeah. He was sick of the people because of this. He tell them one thing, and soon as God, they crying and complaining and grumbling and all of this. And see, they couldn't get out. Today, some of us, we have a choice of whatever we stuck in. We can get out of it if we choose to. Even a job, we can leave that job. It's too strenuous. It's too much. The folk there, they're not godly folk. They're worldly folk. They don't have nothing for God. And no matter what I say or try to do over here, they're not going to see it as a good thing. So I'm going to have to leave. You can get out. But in their case, they couldn't get out. And it was a good thing they was there. They tell me it wouldn't have took 40 years to come out of the wilderness had they made their mind up, all of them, to obey God. They were God's people. They got to see God deliver them out of the wilderness. And he told them, teach this to your children now. Make sure you tell your children how you come out of Egypt. Go ahead and take some of this manna, as you're calling it, and I put it up. I'm going to preserve it so you can show it to your generations to come that I am God Almighty and I delivered you out of the land of Egypt. And look, today, many times we are like that. In 2021, we are the same. God brought us through this. He brought us through that. Something else come up. He delivered us from that. We always complain. Yeah. He told him, now look, Moses, this is what I'm telling you to tell them. And if they don't do this, and the other one come to me in prayer, the one that come to me in prayer telling me about it, that's the one I'm going to hear. And that's the one I'm going to bless. Yeah. And that's who God bless in the day. Those of us that go to him about everything. We're not out here trying to fight our own battles, but we're allowing him to fight. Some things we can just remove ourselves from. But for some reason, we like grumbling and complaining, so we stay in it, and all you can do is suffer. But they was in a position that they could not get out of. And sometimes it's a good place to be, in a position that you can't remove yourself from. Sometimes it's a good thing you can't get off that job because retirement is coming. And you didn't know it, but they done now put together a great retirement plan. When you started working there, they didn't have all of it. And you was trying and trying to get out of there, but you couldn't go nowhere. So the bird in the hand was worth more than a thousand in the bush. So see, you had that job. You wanted to apply for another one, but you didn't know if you would get it. So you felt like you had to stay there, and you did. Now they done put together a great retirement plan. And now you getting to see the fruit of your labor. You got 12 more years to go. You got 10 more years to go. Some of them got 2 more years to go. And you'll be out of there and in a good position to retire. When you get to retirement age, you'll be able to have all that you desire to have in your retirement age. Yeah, because you don't want to start back over. If 20 or 30 years was retirement time, you don't want to start back from scratch. Yeah, so some positions You need to be in there. You need to stay in there. There's some positions we in, we need to come out. But you got to pray your way through. Yeah, we just can't leave stuff and leave things that God has already given unto us. Make sure we get his directions to leave anything that he has put us in or gave to us. Yeah, God is faithful. And he wants us to be faithful. And he said if we are faithful, he'll give us a crown of life that would never fade away. You heard what he said all about the oxen, your possessions and stuff. Yeah. You stealing back then, you were going to die. My goodness. Yeah. It was some great things that God put in place for his people. Yeah. And he told them, too, look, now, if you do it this way, you do it that way, you're going to make me mad. Yeah. And we don't ever want to fall into the hand of an angry God. We want God to be pleased at all times. This is why we say we want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him. The things that please him and the things that he can accept, this is what we want to do. And we will be all right. But I wanted you to hear for yourself. These are the scriptures. This is out of the King James Bible, Exodus. We went from chapter 1 and now we are on chapter 23. And I wanted you to hear this for yourself. And not me just trying to, you know, tell you what it is, but hear it for yourself. Hallelujah. So look, we're going on with 23. Going on with 23 now.
Exodus 23. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise, and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. And what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard, and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt. And none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cap their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You heard what he said. Gave great instructions. Made great statutes and commandments. And until this day, a lot of these we still got to follow. Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Don't covet your neighbor. Children, obey your parents that your days may be long upon the land. Yeah. Them 10, he took them and broke them down into 2 and made it easier for us. But when we look at it, it still go back and sums up the same things the way he want us to live. Many of us, we don't have oxen and all of that, so we don't make the sacrifice of oxen and cattle and sheep and all this stuff. So today we use money. Yeah, we pay our tithes and offerings with money. We plant seeds unto the Lord with money. But the statutes that he gave, the commandments that he gave, again, he took the 10 and broke it into 2. And if we obey that 2 today, we've done the 10. Yeah, because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, everything. And if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're not going to do all that stuff. But see, if we love the Lord, we're going to be careful not to offend him. We're going to be careful not to be disobedient. Yeah. We're going to be careful that we do what he can accept. We're going to be careful that making sure that God is pleased, not our flesh, but that Almighty God who have all the power is pleased. And see, he set these different things in place to bless the people. Even today, what the word of God is saying to us is to bless us. It's to keep us healthy, happy, in a good place. When he said about adulterers going to hell, that was for our good, so we don't do it, so we don't go to hell. He even told us about fornicating. We're sinning against our own bodies. He said all of this so we won't do it. So even our bodies can be spared. But we read these different testimonies. This is the testimony again of Moses. And we're reading these testimonies and listening and hearing what they went through and what they had to do. and hope for seeing, we have it much easier. I have it much easier than Moses. Today I have electric, I have internet, I have a computer. It's easier for me to reach the world than there are those times when I actually have to physically go out into the world. Well, when you go out into the world, what are you doing? Sometimes I don't have to say nothing. People look at me and they know, oh, I can ask her to pray for me. Hey, ma'am, would you pray for me? I went in the Dollar Tree yesterday to get an envelope, some envelopes, brother. And the girl at the register, she said, God bless you. You're not talking like that to customers on the job. They'll fire you. You can't say that on the job no more. You can't quote a scripture on the job and tell them it's a scripture. You out of there. But she told me, she said, God bless you. And we didn't hold no spiritual conversation or none of that. You see? But many times, people know who you are. And sometimes the believer try to hide it because they don't want nobody to know. But today, I want everybody to know. Greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. I'm on his side. I'm not perfect. I'm striving for perfection. I want to live according to the way he said I should live. See, I'm preparing for heaven. Just in and everything don't go on in heaven. Ain't no cussing. They're not cussing in heaven. They're not fighting in heaven. They're not coming against each other. Good morning, Apostle Boatwright. Did she leave, Brother Lewis? I think she left. Yeah. So I wanted you to hear this for yourself. And if you get time, we're going to go a little bit further some days. With Moses, maybe on Thursday. But listen, read this testimony for yourself. Read it for yourself. Learn for yourself. Because if you learn it, then you got it. Nobody can take it from you. Because the way, a lot of ways they teach in the New Age, New Wave move, in these New Wave, New Age churches, I promise you, a lot of it is them. It's not God. Now, I have yet to find the celebration of a church, the celebration of a pastor's anniversary, the choir anniversary. I yet got to find that in the scripture. Maybe it's in there. I just haven't seen it. But I know for myself, a lot of things were added, and it wasn't according to God. And sometimes we got to go back. I know people don't like to go back because people say it was ignorant back then. But their ignorance got us through. They prayed the prayer of faith. God heard them and it got us through. Now we want to change everything. We want to be the new wave, new age church. We don't want to go back to the old path and take a look around and remember what God said. But Moses went through some stuff. I just could imagine. Them people, every little thing, anything they wanted, they come together and grumble and complain and murmur with each other. Yeah, we ain't got no water. He didn't think we'd get no water or how we were going to get water before he brought us out here, but you followed him. You followed him. And you should be following God, not Moses. You should be praying to God yourself. Because they weren't praying over in Egypt. They were grumbling and complaining, murmuring in Egypt. And God heard them. And he said, let me go and set these people free. But he did it in his own way. He didn't do it like we thought he would have. Poof, y'all gone on, you're free. He didn't do it like that. No cross, no crown. We all going to have to go through something. Yeah, We got some crosses to bear. We got some trials to go through. I can't tell you every way in this way is an easy way. I often say it's a suffering way. These are suffering, we going to suffer. And sometimes these trials, they last 20, 30 years. But yet we can manage. We can stay in there and manage. We yet can handle it. If you couldn't, I believe God would have been took you out of that. He'd have been took you off that job. But he knew you could handle it, so he allowed you to stay in the trial. Because you're going to reap the harvest if you faint not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, the studio is open. If anyone have something they would like to say this morning, please feel free and press that number one and come in. I see you down there, Sister Ellis. I got your message. God bless you this morning. Yeah. So listen, let's go to this one this morning.
With our arms open wide.
more than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Luther Barnes this morning. Oh, I love that number right there. I love that number right there. I need the Spirit of the Lord to fall fresh on me there. Lead and guide me, Lord. Help me today. Because without you, I can do nothing. I need you. I need you every second in my life. Hallelujah. Not minute, every second. I need you. And I need a spirit to fall fresh on me. Lead and guide me. Father, give me the ears to hear when your spirit speak to me, the church. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Give me a heart of obedience unto your voice, unto your word today. Ah, yeah. And it's already all right. It's already all right today in Jesus' name. We're grateful unto him. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. All is well with me. All is well. How are you?
Oh, blessed, blessed. I can't complain today.
Oh, yes. Aren't we blessed? Another year. Another 4th of July year.
Amen.
Yesterday, my son turned 40 years old. Hallelujah.
Amen.
40 years ago, I was in labor, unbearable labor. But I thank God that he brought me through it.
Yeah.
There were moments when I didn't think I was going to be able to go through it, but he brought me through it. And that's what he does every day in our lives. When we think we're not going to make it, he still brings us through. When it doesn't look good and it looks like, oh, my goodness, I'm at the end, to bring us through it. I was sitting here last night looking at all the fireworks and blowing off. I don't know if some of them were guns or fireworks, but I thank God that I was able to see the fireworks.
Yes.
I thank God I was able to hear them. And most of all, God, I thank you. I thank you this morning that I lived through the fireworks and not a gunshot. Lord God, you've been good to us, and you've been very good to me.
Yes, Lord.
Even when I had my Moses spirit going sometimes. See, we have to look back over Moses. Yes, Pharaoh's sister saved him because God knew Moses' plan. God knew the plan he had for Moses. Pharaoh fell in love with Moses, and then Pharaoh fell out of love. You ever had somebody fall in love with you and fall out of love? Yes, I was Moses. I fell in love, then I fell out of love. I often tell people, you know, y'all, I think I'm a little damaged good.
Yeah, why you say that?
Because everything I get close to seems like I managed to destroy it all by myself. All by myself. I got close to a husband, and all by myself, I allowed to put things in place that I said, hey, I'm done with you. Just because I was done, God wasn't done. Just because you give up on something and someone, if God be for you, who can be against you? The weapons will be formed, but they shall not come against you. I was reading something the other day about pain. You will suffer pain. How do you think Jesus saved us? He went through pain, unmeasurable amount of pain. So, Lord, I thank you for the pain I go through. Lord, I thank you for the life that I've lived, and you brought me through it. Lord, I thank you for every condition that I have overcome. And I thank you for this little position that you have me in now, just so I can hear the Holy Spirit fall fresh on me. I hear you, Jesus. I hear you in the morning. I hear you late at night. And Lord God, speak to this body, mind of mine. I once had a gentleman tell me, girl, I love you, mind, body, and soul, right? Right? That was just some pillow talk. But Jesus' talk is real. He demonstrated it by hanging on the cross. Hanging on the cross. I don't think I can hang on the cross for nobody, not even my children, and I love them. But if it's them on the cross or me on the cross, I don't think it's going to be me. So this morning I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the love. And yes, I heard what you said. Love thy neighbors, I love thyself. I've been living in this neighborhood for about 40 years and nobody really know my name. Maybe three neighbors know me. Because I'm a person, I stay to myself and I mind my business. My husband, he was the neighborhood welcoming committee, I guess. Everybody came in the neighborhood, they knew Mr. Crowd. Oh, hey, Robert! I said, Robert, where you know those people from? Oh, Jerry, they live about three doors down from us. Oh, I forgot, you're the neighborhood welcoming committee. Welcome to the neighborhood. The other day, I was going to the mailbox, getting my own mail out. I've been living here 40 years. One of the neighbors drew by and said, do you know what happened to that lady that used to live, that young lady? I said, what lady? You know, she was married to Mr. Robert. We heard he died, but what happened to the lady? I said, I am the lady. Oh, I thought you was her daughter. Oh, you Mrs. Crowd? We never knew her. I am the lady. I am the Mrs. Crowd. We never knew her. Well, I am the lady. Oh, we never did know her. You're still talking to me like I'm not the lady. It's best to mind your own business, but it's also good to get out so the neighbors will know you. I don't say go out and say, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. I'm Terry down the street from you. No, I don't do that. My name is Jerry. I'm down the street praying for you. My name is Jerry. I'm in my house minding my business of asking God to cover the neighborhood the way my mother prayed that he would cover me. They saw a new man cutting the yard. Mister, do you live there now? He's like, no, I'm just cutting the yard for the lady that lives here. Nosy neighbors. Everybody want to know what happened to that lady in the house. They only saw me one or two times when I was getting in and out with my children. Now they want to know, am I accepting company? What? No, I'm that same lady. No one comes past the mailbox. I mind my business here. I'm not interested in dating. Been there, done that. I'm just trying to get in here and pray and mind my business and ask God to have mercy on me. And I thank him for the change he's put in me. I have now become my mother. You know how we say, oh, God, I'm becoming my mom. What a wonderful thing. I have now become my mom. Every prayer I ask, God delivers it. I'm not talking finances. I'm talking health prayer. I'm talking spiritual prayer. When the house is so lonely at night at 10 or 11 o'clock prayers, he does send the comforter. I hadn't turned on the TV in years, but God said, turn the TV on. Let it make some noise and you'll hear human voices. Some people God tell them to turn the TV off because they have to have it on 24/7. He told me last night to turn it on. And I found something on TV that made me laugh. And I laughed myself to sleep. I woke up this morning and I said, God, thank you for allowing me to laugh again. Thank you for allowing me to feel human again. Yes, I'm that lady that has lived in this house 40 years. Yes, I'm that same lady that my children didn't go in the neighborhood schools. They went into the other classes' school. Yes, I'm that same lady that covered my husband for over 30 years of driving while intoxicated. Yes, I'm that same lady that covered my children, even when I had one named Mr. Come Get Him. He texted me yesterday, love you, Mom. I'm not in trouble. I texted him back, oh, I'm not worried about you being in trouble. You've been covered since birth. But the one that's still angry at his mother that birthed him 40 years ago, I texted him happy birthday. I saw that he read it. He did not respond. God said no answer is a good answer. No news is good news. Because sometimes we get news about our children and it scares us to death. Mom, I'm in trouble. So if he's not saying anything, he's good. But he's going to have to pay a penalty. And I know this, and I'm praying that God have mercy on his penalty. You don't stand up and tell a man that raised you over 37 years how much you hate him. You don't stand up and tell a man how much you don't like him and he fed you from birth. Just because he said, son, bring back my truck. I've given you everything, but now I'm dying and you can't even come by and give me a glass of water. Bring back my truck. And now because you tell him no on things, he hates you now. But the question is, did he ever love you? He's 16. You take him to the dealership and say, pick out whatever car you want. Your mama said, get you any car you want. He drives home with a brand new car. But you hate him now that he's dying and said, bring me back my old truck. You're 37 years old and your father been taking care of your baby since he was born. But you hate him. How many of us can't say that we hate somebody that's really been taking care of you? Why bite the hand of the person that's been feeding you? Why put your hand in the lion's mouth instead of stroking his mane, and you probably would have had the truck? But you're so disrespectful now that you have entitlement issues. I'll take responsibility for that because I spoiled you from day one. It was like after I birthed you, the pain left out of my body and drained my brain or something because I could never see nothing wrong the child was doing. But he was being disrespectful when he was two, and his daddy said, stop doing with that. No, I'm not. He should have got it tore up then. When he was 13, daddy said, go in there and clean your room. I don't feel like it. He should have been on punishment, but he's sitting there playing Nintendo. When he got 19, then mama want to step in and say, son, you got four choices in life. One, you can go to college. Two, you can go to Glover's Inn, which is the jailhouse. Three, you can go to Saltfucker's Inn, which is the homeless shelter. Or four, you can go up under the bridge, but you're going to do something. Now it's time for you to grow up and move on. You have 24 hours. When mother gets ready, she can be stern. But she was a little late with the sternness. 24 hours, she's good as the word. Mommy walked in the house. She hadn't put a fight down. He came, he says, I'll be leaving here tonight approximately 8 o'clock. Okay. I'm going in the room, but she done made her room. She's not even looking back. Aren't you concerned about what I'll be doing? No, you're a grown man. What will you be doing? My recruiter will be here to get me. I'll be enlisted in the Marine Corps. Oh. Marine Corps. Well, listen up, Mr. Crown. That's going to be the toughest branch of the military. Remember, not everybody can join the Marines. The Navy people have to go back through training. But you can go to their branch with no training. I wish you well. And I slammed my door because now I'm angry with this disrespectful child that I raised. I did this like Pharaoh. He's angry at Moses, but he raised it. Marine man came in, shook my hand. Robert gave me a hug goodbye. And the one thing I can say, when I did see him after 6 months, he was totally different. I must say the Marines will make a man out you. They made a man out of him when I was trying to raise a boy all of his life. I didn't allow his father to do it, who was a bomb specialist, a Green Beret, Special Forces. No, I didn't let him do it. Because he had too much issues, I thought. You're just so mean to my child. You just don't treat my child right. Jardine, he's not a baby. He's spoiled. And if you don't watch it, he's not going to make it. Oh, he's going to make it. He's smart. He's smart, but he's spoiled. He have entitlement issues. But when we went to graduation, I saw the spoiled child turn into a grown man. But then when he got out the Marine Corps, here's mom, here's dad. We're here to spoil you again. We were here to take all that training out of you that the military put in you. You have a baby. We'll stop buying the cereal, the milk, and the diapers. But the one thing this mother did, because she learned, I will not be your built-in babysitter. My mother didn't watch you, and I'm not watching your child. My mother didn't do this for me, so you're going to live on your mom? No, she's dead. So I want you to pretend like I'm dead. I will not be watching your child. I will not give up my weekends for you to go out, you and your girlfriend. But Nana, she's in mesh, and her daughters hold the babies over her. She tell her, don't do something, she do anyway, and walk out and leave the children. See, you couldn't do that with me. She tried me one time, and I looked dead in her little brown eyes, and I says, young lady, look at me. Look dead in my eyes, because I'm serious. This baby here, I love him to death. But I will not be held hostage as your babysitter. Figure this out, you and my son. He knew I was serious then because he couldn't manipulate me with his child. Well, you won't be seeing him again. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. He had to eat those words because he said, okay, can I pay you XYZ dollars a week to watch my son? No, you cannot. Because you will not hold me hostage on the weekend for giving me a little bit of change. Figure out a babysitter. I did it. But, Mom, there's no baby. I can't deal with your problems. I have my own. We have to stop spoiling our children or we will regret it. The jailhouse is full of spoiled children. And some of them said, I wish my mama would have been a little stricter. It wasn't the daddy's fault. It was the mother's. We love them so much. It's like the pain that leaves our body go to our brain and we go crazy. I didn't know how to be a mother at 24. But I learned not to have another child. I learned that. Ooh, yes, Lord, I learned it. The pain was so severe, I almost lost my mind. I think I did lose it. But I thank God that not the first one of my children have gone to jail yet. Not that they haven't done things. When the fireworks went off last night, I thought about the explosion that I was going through when he was being born. He was born at 12:02 a.m., 4th of July. Holy Spirit, I thank you for all of my children. I thank you for all the listeners. I thank you, Lord, that someone's out there is in need of you. Someone needs you to take their hand and lead them on. Someone is in need of you right now, Jesus, and don't know how to come to you. Someone needs you so bad till they are walking the floor suicidal right now because they're allowing a bill to scare them. I'm coming to get your car. Well, let them come get it. Because what for you, you should have. I know. You came and got my car, but you brought it right back. With all your heart, trust in the Lord. and he will direct your path. Lord, I thank you for directing my path. I thank you for saving me out of the prison system. Lord, I thank you that you show me who you are. I thank you when I don't know what to do with myself, you come in and comfort me. I thank you that these walls are very quiet. And I thank you Saturday made the first year Mr. Crowell's been dead, and I have made it with your help, Lord. I didn't do it by myself. I've had people rip me off. They came in. They was helping me. They helped themselves to my corn in my house, helped themselves to my foreign currency. They helped themselves to my jewelry. Yeah, people come in and help you when you're grieving. But are they helping you or helping themselves from me? And I finally looked at them and I said, you're not stealing from me. You're stealing from God, but I'll be okay. Because I don't worship none of these things here. But can you please bring me back my Vietnamese currency? Of course, they didn't know what I was talking about. But now they have moved from next door, and I have doorbell ring, and now they don't have access to me. Stop giving too many people access to yourself. Because most of the time they're in it for themselves, not you. I thought they loved me. They was calling me mom and love you and bringing me a slushie while they were bringing me a slushie. They were stealing all my valuable goods for a 99-cent slushie. While I was paying them to paint the room, they were in there stealing out the rooms. And I looked and said, where are you coming with this room? Oh, we're getting there. When they got through getting everything I had, then they went MIA, not to Miami, but missing in action. Now they stop by every now and then just to see how I'm doing. I don't have nothing else for you to steal. It's amazing Robert lived here all these years and all his power tools belong to him. Yeah, these my power tools. I let him hold them. I'm like, this man was always building on something. How he had no power tools? You know what? He don't even have a screwdriver or a hammer in this house. I just wanted to know how Robert did so much work around his house with no tools. And God said he had the tools, but you allowed Judas to come in. True? Because I didn't understand the streets. I was a sheltered person. Remember, no one knew my name. I stayed in the house. I was Robert's little bird in the cage. He didn't let me out. And when I came out, I was with him in the car, closed door, boom, drive down the street, nobody saw me. But I liked being in the house. I was sitting down reading. I liked not cooking. I liked not having to clean up and wash and iron and all of that. Sister Barbara sent me my shirt and the patch, and I said, ooh, Barbara, it's not on the shirt. She said, Carrie, all you got to do is iron it on. I said, I don't know how to do that. I don't even have an iron in this house. Remember, the people came to help me. They even took the iron. I don't have an ironing board. They knew me, but I don't know them. They knew that I didn't know what an iron was. And she said, Jerry, give me your shirt, and I'll iron the patch on. That was 4 days ago. I hope I get my shirt back. But maybe it'll bless her. I'm just tired of people thinking they have rights to your thing, but remember, they can only get rights to you when you give them access. Try giving God access to yourself, and you won't go wrong. So Holy Spirit, fall down on me. Please keep the prayers that my mother prayed on the bike porch in the corner, that I won't let just anybody have access to my Gucci body. Because I'm too valuable to be on sale. And I'm surely not free. God did not just give me that one man and think that I would never get another man to treat me half as good as Robert did. No, God said, I'll give you better. I'll give you double for your trouble. And there's someone out there now thinking that their life is over. Just because you're in prison don't mean you won't be walking out. Say to them, say to your mirror of the little cut, whatever you have to look at. God, you are the same God yesterday, today and forevermore. I'm walking out of here. I don't care what the evidence looked like, Bill Crosby. He walked out of there. I don't care that I am accused of this. God, you have a way to walk me out of what I walk myself into. And today I pray for the inmates. I truly pray for them, for they knew not what they were doing because they don't want to be where they're at. Lord, have mercy on them. For they're in a predicament that they don't want to be in. Give them strength. Give them courage. Please bless them. Show them favor, Lord. Who am I to judge them? Show them favor. Give them a second chance, Lord, at life. Somebody's been in the jail since they were 14 years old as an adult. Lord, give them favor. Well, they knew not what they were doing. They were young, innocent, but listening to the wrong group of people. Social media drawing our children. TikTok is showing them all sorts of things. And Snapchat, please stop. But Lord, I pray for those that's incarcerated right now. When I saw the fireworks going off last night, I said, Lord, have mercy on someone that has made a terrible mistake. But I know, Jesus, you went to jail, so you know what it's like. I know, Jesus, if it be your will, they will walk out. So, Lord, please help them to walk out of what they got themselves in and let them never return. Lord, I pray for the military because we wouldn't have those fireworks if it wasn't for them out there battling on the battlefield. I have a special love for the Marine Corps because they turned my boy into a man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're on my side. Thank you, Lord, that I have an autistic son, but, Lord, he's talking every day.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. I have a son that has emotional, mental issues. But, Lord, he's been on this one job for 4 years. Thank you, Lord. He drives. So I know you are in the midst of a lot of things. And I pray for the parent that's got an autistic child because, you know, it's a rough job. Mental illness is real. I pray for the person that want to try to commit suicide. I've dealt with one of my family members trying to do that. And you saved her, Lord. You saved her. Lord, keep the suicidal individual feeling like they have nothing and all alone. Wrap your arms around them. Well, they're in trouble right now, Lord. You'll forgive a person for anything except for suicide. Lord, take suicidal off the table for whoever's sitting down thinking they're by themselves and I might as well be dead. No, you might as well live and not die. I should live and not die. Have mercy on the little child that's being left home alone by themselves. They're 2 or 3 years old walking the street looking for something to eat, or their mother have some type of addiction, or their father, or their parent have not time for them. But, Father God, cover the children. Cover the children. And cover the mental illness that's out there. We have more mental illness than we are aware of. And Lord, I thank you for covering me because I do have flashbacks. My birthday is coming up. That's the day I'll always remember. That's the day my father killed my mother. I'll never forget that day. But each day, Lord, you give me courage to try to eat that coconut cake because that's the cake my mama baked for me and the blood got all over it. But then I have to say, oh, it was the blood of Jesus that saved me. Yes. Thank you for keeping suicidal off the table for me, Lord God. I used to hate when my birthday came around as everybody said, Jerry, you never want anything for your birthday. No, I really don't. I just kind of just like to be thankful. No, I don't like celebrating a day that I lost my mother. That was over 70 years ago. I don't like celebrating a day that I lost my mother. But then God spoke to me and he said, every day is a celebration. Stand up and rejoice, for I'm in the days. I'm in your day. So celebrate it, Jerry. Don't go in a room and close the door and put music in your ear and just order food for cabin because you don't want to be disturbed. Come out. Elijah, come out the cave and go on the mountaintop. Moses, take these tablets. Joshua, walk around the gate 7 days. Lord, please help me. I'm not suicidal, but help me find rejoice, happiness on the day that you allowed me to be born. And bless everyone out there that's feeling suicidal, all alone, because truly you're in the midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
God bless you, Gary. And it's already all right. It's already all right. God already knew from the beginning of time. He know everything. He know our future. He know what he's got planned for us. And when I
know,
when I tell you, he got you covered. You just have to taste and see, even in the midst of all of this. And he knew it would be a hard pill for you to swallow, but he won't put any more on you than you can bear. So he know eventually you would get completely over this. He would completely deliver you. He would completely heal you of all of this. Because it's God that gives and it's God that takes away. Yet, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. So we're thankful unto him in the midst of our trials and situations and things. We're yet grateful unto him. He's able to see us through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we thank the Lord. Thank the Lord this morning. Is there anyone else? If so, feel free to press that number one and come in this morning and share and tell God thank you, say good morning, or whatever you feel today, because your mic can be open. Hallelujah. And to those that come through the podcast and the archives, God bless you. God bless you. My daughter and I, we pray for you. We pray for you. Those that listen in the podcast and the archives, those brothers and sisters overseas, we pray for you. Yeah, we do. We pray for you because we know that God is everywhere. He's here with us. He's there with you, and he can do whatever you ask him to do. If you ask, believe in him. And once you ask, let it go. Let it go. Yeah. Try not to hold on to it, because if you're holding on to it, he can't fix it because you have it. But if you let go, then God can take care of it. And it may come back. Every time it come back, continue to let it go. Yeah. I remember with my children, the Lord taught me, let them go. Give them to me. Who's more better qualified than I am to take care of them? Show me an example. When you're with your daughter, you can't take care of her. You can't stop nothing from happening to her. So when you're not with her, how much the more do I take care of your children? You can't be with them. Even in their adult age, you can't be there. So you got to trust me to see your children through. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. And so we keep praying and we keep moving on in Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Because of him, we have life today. God found a way to redeem us back to himself. He sent his son and then allowed his son to come back home so that he can prepare a place for us. And where he is, we may be also one day. That's good news right there. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Yeah, he's faithful. And many times we'll have trials to endure. And we go through in him. For he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us until the end. Yeah. I went to bed early. And I heard the shooting and everything. And I woke up. I was like, that's what woke me up. All that shooting and carrying on. They need to cut it out now. But it's what people do. They celebrate that way. And I had gotten several phone calls. And I'm like, wow, I was knocked out and did not hear the phone ring. So I got up and returned one of the phone calls. And they told me, they said, what you doing calling me this late at night? I said, well, you just called me this late at night. Yeah. And so we had a good laugh and we had a good conversation. And I thank God for it. And I didn't really grill or cook anything because I really can't chew. But I went and got me some fresh fruit from the farmer's market here on Beaver Street. I went over there and bought beautiful mangoes and peaches and plums.
And did you buy anything to make a cake?
No, ma'am, I did not. No, ma'am. And you don't need no cake. See, tell me, don't eat no cake. I was telling her something the other day, don't eat no cake now. Yeah, because you want the cake. That's what it is. But you know, Jerry, your birthday coming. And with your birthday coming, I may do something. I may squeeze you a small cake out. Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, Barbara. Publix got it. Publix got my cake.
I know, but Jerry, if you hit this one, if you hit this one whole day from scratch, you might put Publix down.
I like pound cake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking of that sour cream pound for you. But that's not... That Publix is good. Please don't get it twisted, sister. With that buttercream frosted, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But I just hadn't been eating cake like that. But I did make on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. I made banana bread. You know, I usually make the banana nut bread, but I didn't put nuts in this. I just made the banana bread. And, you know, I might have a cup of coffee today and a piece of that banana nut bread. That will be breakfast and lunch for me. And because I can, you know, I can eat that real good and it digests real good. But and yesterday, let me tell you what I had yesterday, Jerry. I had grits, eggs, and sausage with cheese now from Crystal. Mm-hmm. When I tell you that thing, I have not had that in forever and a day. That thing tasted golden good yesterday. I said, Barbara, look at all you missing. No, no, you got to stay on the straight and narrow, Barbara. You can't eat all of that. You got to go back to vegetable eating and water drinking. You cannot eat this every day. But that it was such a treat for me. And I don't like pan sausage, the little flat sausage. I don't like them. But yesterday, because I haven't had meat, and I don't know when, because I eat eggs and, you know, peanut butter for protein and beans. But that sausage with the grits and eggs and cheese tastes so good yesterday. I said, you should go back for another scrambler. Don't do it, Barbara. Don't do it. But I thank God, because I have to get over food like that, you know, the kind that I'm not supposed to eat. I have to get over that and keep moving. And I don't eat those, is it gazonzo beans or something like that? I don't eat that and I don't eat hummus. But I did buy some quinoa and I'm going to cook that with chicken broth, low fat chicken broth. And because I'm going to make the broth myself because it'll be fat. So I'm going to make it with low fat chicken broth. and I have some quinoa and some cauliflower, and I might have a salad with that, but I have to cut it up in the food processor. Brother Louis, I had to take the soup and put it in the food processor. Now, you know I wasn't happy with that. And after I processed it in the food processor, then I heated it up in the bowl, and it came out like baby food. I was mad. I said, dude, you got to eat it. You got to eat it. So I ate it, and it tastes pretty good. It tastes pretty good. I was surprised, you know, of the taste, but it's just something I'm not accustomed to. I'm not used to eating salt foods all the time. You know, every now and then I have to have a smoked turkey leg, you know, and take the roasted smoked turkey leg and make a sandwich out of it. I'm used to that, you know, just the bread, no mayonnaise and stuff. You know, I use that light bread, and each slice is 40 calories. So I'm used to that, but, and then I don't eat regular rice, I eat brown rice, because I had to change a lot of things, you know, they help my digestion and stuff like that, and get a couple of pounds off. So I thank God, and I'm grateful unto him. And I had bought these dresses, and they cut small. But I was able to fit the dress and had a little room in it. I was like, look at this. Yeah. So I just got to stay on the straight and narrow. Y'all keep it lifted in prayer when it comes to that eating, that I eat the correct food, eat healthy and properly, and it will be all right. But, Jerry, keep us reminded of your birthday now. Don't sit back and let us forget the date, because we want to know the birthday. And, I'm looking at some things, and I'll probably be able to bless you for your birthday, and it will be all right in Jesus' name. You just got to celebrate. It's your day God brought you forth, and he brought you forth with a purpose and a plan. Yeah, a plan and a purpose. He didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to let Jerry be born July or whatever the date is, and afterwards I'll decide. No, he already knew what his purpose and plan was for you before you were born, or his plan and purpose for you before you come forth. And it's all right today. And I need you to get out more. I need you to get out the house more, you know, and do more. And even if you want to ride to the farmer's market, or you want to ride through the old neighborhood, give me a call. Yeah, we can do that. We can ride by Smart Poke Livingston, you know, and laugh. You know, go down Barber Street, you know, turn down Prelude. Yeah. And go up to Kings Road, ride through College Circle if you want to. Just let me know. Start getting out the house. Yeah, you're not really an invalid. I mean, you have a few problems, but you're not bound. You're not bedridden, and you're not bound. You just have to make your mind up to get out. And they have so many things now, Jerry, that's drive-through. Yeah, when my knee, that left knee is cutting a donkey, and I have to go get something, I try to find somewhere with a drive-through. And then I'm
going. Well, Barbara, you'll be surprised. I got out this weekend and went and had my feet done. I hadn't had that done in over a year.
Wonderful.
But, oh, those hot rocks and those towers. I felt like I was from the rich and famous. The lady, she just rubbed my feet so well. I said, oh, I haven't had this done in years. And the grandbaby, he picked out the polish. He said, Grandmama, guess get this hot paint. That's more your style.
Oh,
I started
no.
to say when I was younger, but I said, okay. When the lady put it on my feet, he said, now look, so you have bright feet and bright color. We'll be back next week, ma'am, for another color for her. I looked at him like, well, who's going to be paying for this? But I
you
can't let him go on.
Okay, you will, Jerry. He said you'll have it next week, and y'all coming back.
Yeah, yeah, he said it.
So they did a good job over there. They did a good job on them feet.
They did a great job. My brother tricked me, and he said he was sending me to a foot doctor. And the foot doctor, when I got in, it says the foot doctor, but it was a nail shop. Because I called him, I said, Michael, I didn't want to get my feet done. He said, you know what, you don't want to do nothing but sit in that house. What are you doing just sitting in the house? What's going on in that house, Jerry? I'm getting my rest. He said, my God, you don't rest so much. You sure you ain't in the grave?
Yeah.
So he tricked me in going to the foot doctor, but it did say it's foot doctor specialized in nails.
Okay.
So I went there and I got my feet done, and they looked beautiful.
Okay.
But my brother tricked me in because I told him, he said, now, Jerry, for your birthday, we got to get you out of the house. Who lives in a neighborhood for 40 years and nobody know you? Me. I'm not outgoing like I used to be, Michael. I mean, I might sit outside in the front, but mostly I sit in the back so nobody will see me. He said, real smart, Houston, real smart. But I'm going to get you out the house.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Because once you start getting out and moving around a little bit, you're going to feel a little bit better. Now, I don't go out every day, and I don't go and hang like I used to and go to all the places I used to go. But, like, the farmer's market is outside. I still wear my mask.
Yeah, I did, Pippa. And I moved my truck. I moved it from behind my car and put it over there in the grass. I was like, oh, I can't still drive. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have become homebound, and I like it.
Well, no, you got to get out the homebound somewhere. So, Jerry, you actually drove the truck.
Yeah.
You're going to make me shout. You're going to make me shout in a minute now.
And I was afraid of the truck. I was afraid of it.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
God done blessed me with it. Two automobiles paid for, and I'm afraid to drive them. Come on, what kind of foolishness is that?
Okay.
Yes, I drove. I drove. I drove.
Yes. And keep up the good work. If you don't do nothing, drive the truck from one side of the yard to the other side.
Well, I got a huge backyard. I could have been driving around in circles, but I drove. But then after I got back home, I was too afraid to park it behind the car, so I just parked her over there by the gate, and I said, look at me.
Okay.
And then my grandbaby grandmama came, and she said, Grandmama, what you doing? I said, driving my truck.
All right.
Oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that. It's mighty funny. I shouldn't be doing that now. Oh, okay. I'm like, who y'all talking to?
Okay. Go and drive your truck, Jeff.
That's what I said. God gave it to me.
Yeah.
And I drove up the Longhorn and picked up Kevin and my dinner.
Jerry, stop it.
Yeah, but now that I was driving, I had the title Miss In and Out the 500. I wasn't driving In and Out the 500. I was driving Miss Daisy. I was Miss Daisy.
It's okay. It's okay. You got to do that until you get comfortable again.
Right. I was holding on with both hands and no music in the car. I used to be dancing in the car while I was driving. No music and driving very slow.
Yes, that's good. That's a good thing.
But I felt good when I was driving.
Yeah.
It was slow, like after I got that foot massage, I felt better. At the circulation, that heart. Woo! And he had already prepaid for me, too.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know how to ask in there. I said, well, ma'am, how much is it? She said, Mr. Willie Thomas has already paid us and tipped us.
Okay.
I called him and thanked him so much. I said, Mike. He said, well, you got one more birthday gift, and then, young lady, I'm through giving you.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. That's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Jerry.
Yeah. I know what he's going to get me. He's going to get me that chocolate cake from Publix. I already know. I mean, because he knows. I mean, all this stuff is good, but, you know, I got to have cake.
But then, Jerry, he might get the cake, but it might be something different than, because he may think that you know about the cake. Because he know you love cake. But it makes
you know I love cake, so, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lord,
so that was part of my weekend. That's what I did.
Okay, well, that's wonderful news. Wonderful news. And that should have been a good weekend for you. Yeah.
That was a great weekend, especially when I went to the mailbox and the neighbors asked me what happened to the lady that lived there in the house. I said, I'm not lady. So you her daughter? No, I'm the lady. I'm the lady that lived there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Jerry, you got to get out of there. Get out of there. Because that's
work.
Yeah, that's work for you to do, too, and for you to be able to get some work done and get some people blessed and that kind of thing. Yeah. And so I'm excited, and I'm happy for you that you got to drive. Jerry, that's good news. That is
excellent. Well, you know, I was driving when I was 13, but, you know, after I got in an accident, I became leery and nervous.
Yeah.
But fear not. The Bible says it 365 times in that. Fear not.
Okay.
So I got to get over that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Got to let go and let God have his way.
Yeah, just keep practicing. Keep practicing. Wow.
Well, yeah, that's what I did. I drove a little bit.
Okay.
I was nervous, but I drove a little bit.
All right. I'm not upset with nobody who drove a little bit. I'm not. And look at Louis over here. Look at Louis over here. He was featured on The Poor and Ugly. And when you mentioned Kate Jerry, he got a mojo over here. Like, perked up real good with his tongue hanging out. To my Kate. All you
who's that? Is that Brother Frank?
No, that's Brother Louis.
I don't know it. Oh, Brother Louis. Good morning, Brother Louis. Yes. I don't know everybody's names. I just go by what God tell me to tell whoever good morning. And that's why I go, good morning, Brother Frank. Good morning, Brother Anthony. Brother Louis.
Yeah.
Sister Dot. You know, I don't know their names. I never met none of them.
Well, you're learning pretty good. You done said, about four names? Yeah, that's good, Jerry, right there. That is good right
yeah.
there. Hallelujah. God is faithful. And you know what? God hear prayers. I don't care what nobody says. God will hear your prayers. And when you praying for others and you ask God to raise them up, you ask God that they done went through some traumas and different things, and you ask God to put them back where they should be put in you, Lord. Lord, put them back in the place where they should be. God will do this if you're sincere and you really mean this. Because, see, what he does, he sees that you're not selfish. You are not selfish, and you're praying for someone else. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I want to learn how to play I want to learn how to work on computers. That's my next thing. And I really don't want to go to school, but I want to go to a couple of classes that teach me the parts, you know, of a computer and what to do. Because you know what I found out? Too much is going on now. I used to just, like, if it was Amazon, I would just type Amazon and go to Amazon. Now I'm putting that www dot into everything. .com, whatever it is, .com. www.amazon.com, whatever I'm looking for. Because they got so many fake websites to try to get your financial information and any other information they can get. And with the identity theft thing. So I filed with the Federal Trade Commission, and they have a report. And somebody filed my taxes. That Shantae was so mad about that, but I told her, don't be upset. It is what it is. You know, don't be upset. God, yet. Have it all in control. So now I have to go through some stuff and go through some stuff with IRS so that they can fix everything and put everything back. And I wanted to request a new Social Security number. But do you know all the stuff I would have to work on changing back and fix? Oh, it would just be ridiculous. But I'm getting one. I think I'll get a new one. Yeah, I had to put an alert on my credit report, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work when they steal your identity. But they have a thing called a dark web, and these people can go to the dark web and get your stuff. You leave the least little door open, and even through places like Adobe and all like that, be careful. Be very careful. Yeah. So these scammers, they waiting to scam. To get your money. And I don't understand. if you that savvy with the internet, why don't you open you some type of business and grow your business and make all the money that you want and stop taking from other people? It just don't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. I like that right there. I'm looking at some stuff online while I'm talking, Jerry, while I'm talking. But if there's no one else, we have 5 minutes, and I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I know somebody probably say, well, Sister Jerry come and talk every morning, and why does she allow this and that? Listen, y'all give God his business and pray for Sister Jerry. Yeah, y'all give God his business. He know what he's doing. You don't know what he's doing, and he don't have to tell you his business. Yeah, so y'all keep her lifted up in prayer, and it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Good to see you, Sister Ellis. And I'm going to quickly try to do this. I got the names for the private show on Wednesday. And so I'll be sending y'all the link to get into the private show on Wednesday. Good morning, Sister Dorothy, Sister Mary Ann, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Simone, Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela, Sister Laura, Sister Lexis, Sister Michelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea and Philly, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, again, Sister Jerry, and Sister Anna Lee. Sister Anna Lee Foote, God bless you this morning, Mama. God bless you. Thank God for you. Hallelujah. Sister Kim Hopp, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and Apostle Boatwright was with us earlier. Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hawk, Brother Mike in Orlando, Brother George West Perry, and Brother Lee Hamilton. God bless you this morning. Thank God for you tuning in the archives or coming through the podcast. I thank God for each and every one this morning. So we're going to pray out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for Jerry sharing her testimony and blessings with us, or how you're moving in her life. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, as we depart this morning, I ask that you would bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast. Lord, move today for your people in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Bless our going out. Bless us coming in. Father, continue to meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask it all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. I speak the blessings, all the blessings and miracles of Almighty God upon you today, July the 5th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day. Let me play a little bit of this one. And after the song,
you are an angel. Let God have his way. You ought to let go and let God have his way. You ought to let go and let God have his way. You ought to let go and let God have his way.
Yeah! Let him.